Half hour being brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. So important in your buying experience because they go over every vehicle with a fine-tooth comb. Great service department. Inspections, routine, difficult. They handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online, sunburymotors.com. The outstanding Frank Bodani, York Daily Record with us. Frank, always a pleasure. Welcome.
Hey, Steve, how are you today? Hopefully well, right?
Doing great. At least the sun's out.
I tell you what, what's it going to be like for Penn State players, tailgaters, and everyone else to go to a home game with no clouds, no rain?
Unbelievable. It would almost be a shock. All right, so a month into this thing, what are your general thoughts on this team after now seeing the body of work?
Well, you know what? Offensive. Well, I guess overall, it's pretty much in line with what I kind of figured, and I'll say it, I'll explain it this way, is that new coordinators everywhere, offense changing, it's going to take time. It's going to be, I'm thinking incremental positivity here from one week to the next. And I think we're seeing that offensively, a little more of the playbook each week, involving and leaning on different parts of the game each week, getting a little more comfortable and confident, say, like on the offensive line. I think that's going, Drew Aller, that's all going through four games at least, as you might think. Defensively, I really wondered a little bit about how they would kind of show out last week. Very physical opponent, a really good team that protects the football. And defensively, they did that to me. And I think, but you know, the good part to me is that both sides of the football still ways to go. They haven't played their best game yet. I'm convinced of that. If they can just clean up or figure out, whatever you want to call it, some issues on special teams, penalties, I think you're headed in the right direction.
Right. The usage of Nicholas Singleton and Catron Allen as not just running backs, because Singleton has two 100-yard rushing games, Allen's got a couple, but their usage as receivers, what has that meant to opening up the offense?
Oh, I think that it's huge, and we've heard about that for a couple of years, but never. I mean, we saw a little more of that at the end of last year, but we just haven't gotten it yet. And now you're getting it everywhere, and I think it makes it so much harder to defend because those guys with the ball in their hands, no matter how they get it, are dangerous. Not just for breaking away 70-yard runs, but for the punishment they give to defenders. I mean, it gets to the point where you almost can see guys wonder if they want to tackle them, you know, three quarters of the way through a game. So that's huge. I mean, Nick's play where he depletes the defensive lineman and then runs through the second defender, I mean, that symbolizes everything we're talking about here, right? I mean, what that can do, that energizes, to me, the offensive line, the whole team, the stadium, on a simple little flip pass.
Well, and what's interesting about that is it shows to me the ability to be a complete running back, that you can throw that block, then make the catch, and then start bowling through people.
Yeah, it reminded me a little of Saquon Barkley in a sense that that wasn't the easiest catch in the world. I mean, he had to reach up for it, so he's doing three things at one time. And I know it's not the same, but I'm just like, I think quite a bit about Saquon at Iowa in 2017 and all the things he did there. The best single individual performance I still will say that I witnessed in person. And that play reminded me of that elite ability, like you just mentioned, to do three, four excellent things at one time.
Right. The offensive line, they had to show off, because of circumstances, some depth. Are you starting to see a semblance of cohesion with the offensive line through the opening month?
Yeah, and I think you wondered maybe when that would happen, because they lost three starters to the NFL. So while all these guys played except for Cooper Cousins, they weren't starters together last year. I mean, you got new starters together. So I think they're coming along pretty well. And James Franklin said he challenged his lines leading up to the Illinois game. And I'm thinking, you know, challenging them maybe for physicality purposes, because we have been waiting. I think Penn State fans have been waiting to see not just maybe a technically sound, cohesive line, but one that exerts its physicality on the opponent. And I think you, in some ways, you may have seen that more against Illinois than I can remember against a quality opponent. So, huge positive going forward.
We know Abdul Carter moved from linebacker to defensive end. Against Illinois, he was able to get multiple tackles for losses, 2.5 sacks. Are you starting to see a comfort level with him, and also how Tom Allen is using him in situations?
Absolutely. And I think James has said, you know, the best is yet to come. I mean, I think that's the simplest, most effective way to describe Abdul Carter, because he's had to learn so much in one respect, because he's changing positions, and maybe people probably don't understand that it's not just, you know, lining up at one defensive end position, it's being able then to play the other side. And he has the skills, but the versatility to do so much that you can't give him it all on his plate at one time, I don't think, right? So right. I think we're seeing him getting fed more and more, and to the point where, hey, it showed on Saturday finally that his best thing is being able to move around the field, right? Because that way the defense is so worried about him that they can't account for everybody else beside him. I think there was plays where they were so worried about him last week that, like, Zane Durant is then unblocked. He's not blocked the way he should be, because you have to account for 11 everywhere. And if you don't put him the same place, good luck doing that.
Quarterbacks hate to have pressure, but they really hate to have pressure up the middle and in their face. What have you seen in the development of Zane Durant?
Well, I mean, you know, since he got here, you heard about his, not just his tenacity, but his elite physical skills for his body type, because he wasn't the biggest guy at that position coming in, but that combination of strength and quickness, and just now he's experienced, right? And he's bigger, and he's stronger. And I think finally he's being able to not just take on and occupy blockers. He's starting to become kind of unblockable at times,
yeah,
coming up the middle. And it's huge, because how many teams, even top Power 4 teams, have a guy up front that can get that kind of pressure? Now, he talked about doing it earlier in the game, right? So he's being tough on himself. That's the next step, right? But I think it's big, because that whole line is experienced. Those defensive tackles have so much experience, but to have an explosive guy there combined with, you know, the Abdul Carter and such, I mean, it's big going forward for them.
In the opening game of the season, Jalen Reed was unbelievable, played incredibly well. When you have talked to or listened to coaches and talked to players or listened to players, what has his mind and his feel for the game meant to putting this team into the right positions?
Well, yeah, I think you hear a lot about how he's one of the football-smartest players that some of these guys have worked with, and he just, meaning that I think he just understands the nuances of the game. It comes to him. He knows where to be. He knows where others should be around him. And he can anticipate things. He can be places quicker because of that knowledge, that understanding that just comes to him better, right? So I think him playing the lion position is really what they want him to do, because that gives him freedom. It brings him up closer to the line. And that's where he's most effective. But the problem, you know, the hard part was KJ Winston being hurt and out, is that you know, it's hard for him to be able to do that when you're breaking in new guys in the back. So as long as you keep him healthy, I think they work through this. Great. It'll be great to see Dejon Lane, how he progresses, how quickly at safety, too.
Which then brings us to the other part. You mentioned Winston being out. It was a game against Illinois, for example, where Wormley got poked in the eye, Nelson got poked in the eye. What have you thought about this team's depth to this stage of the season?
Well, it's huge, and I thought that's what depth is what would make them special this year, but they've had to lean on their depth more and more quickly than I think you would have thought and maybe you'd like, because we still got 8 games to go. It's impressive. It's stepped forward like you thought it could and should. I mean, Cooper Cousins appears to be such an outlier for a true freshman lineman that he's able to step in and do what he is so effectively. How unusual that is. So, hey, you know, if he's there, you use him. And I mean, that's something they haven't had in years past. An offensive lineman that can not just play as a true freshman, but I think be really good as a true freshman. I don't know how many teams have that. So that's big right now. And just trying to keep guys healthy against UCLA would be, I think, one of the biggest hopes for this weekend.
Yeah, this now becomes, the expansion part now becomes real. You know, UCLA, that obviously going to the Coliseum playing USC, then Washington comes in here on November 9th for the whiteout game. Now it feels like the expansion is real. How do you, you know, probably going to be a better question at the end of this season, might be a better question during the off season. But what have you thought just about the impact of all this?
Well, I mean, I think it, on a surface, it's good because it diversifies your schedule and gives you more anticipation for games. Instead of, I mean, it's nothing against the regular teams in the Big Ten, but instead of playing, say, Indiana next week, Penn State's got to go to USC. I mean, that's like, feels like a bowl game. Feels like once in a while they may have did that in a non-conference, but not very often. And I think there's more excitement there. I mean, how it works realistically and feasibly for some of these teams, I mean, you kind of would feel bad for UCLA in a sense. I mean, they got to travel. They're having a tough start to the year. They got to travel 3,000 miles and then play a game on Saturday that is going to feel like they're kicking off at 9 a.m. So I don't think that's really what the ideal situation is necessarily, but I think overall, I mean, I'm going to say overall, it's a positive, and I think it's just simply, Steve, the nature of college football. You're not going to keep like this from happening. Well, so you got to deal with it the best way possible.
Well, for the Big Ten, the dream for them is going to be what comes up with Penn State playing at USC in an afternoon game at 3:35. Oh, and then Ohio State in the back end of the doubleheader is playing at Oregon that night. I mean, for Tony Petitti, now he's not the architect of this, but as the commissioner, it's the kind of day that you dream about.
Oh, absolutely. And I think for him it is, I think for TV, I mean, I can't imagine how many people will be watching just those two games. I mean, that's incredible. That is, feels like you're in the postseason in a way already. It's going to take a while to get used to it, I think, for fans. It's a great test for Penn State, for example, for this team, because now all of a sudden you got a game before a bye that I think will test you and show you on multiple levels where you are, who you are. And you don't always get that even in week 5 or 6. You will now.
I do have to ask you about Drew Aller to this point, and then the mix of Bo Prabula. I mean, you being from York. So what's been your thought on the two quarterbacks at this point, starting with Drew?
I think Drew's, the thing that stands out to me the most, he looks more comfortable so far. And, I mean, his running ability is, you know, that's like night and day. I mean, that's huge. He's not just going down the field picking up yards, but extending plays, looking like he feels good about getting outside the pocket. I mean, that's a huge, that's another thing that people did, defenses did not really have to worry about last year, and now they do. You know, but it steps for him to me. So, you know, I think he might throw the ball a little more this week, considering the opponent situation in last week, but we're still got to see, you know, and this is good. I think it's gone in steps, so we still got to see him in a big environment that's really maybe hard or tough in the second half where he's pushed in the offense, and I think we'll see that next week. So that's, you know, we're right on schedule here. You know, both, it's Andy Kudelnik, he's not doing an easy thing, right? Trying to work in two quarterbacks, trying to work in a backup quarterback like Bo is not necessarily the easiest thing in the world, right? Because you to me, and then you're throwing Tyler Warren in there, right? So now you'll, in a sense, you sometimes have three you're using, and you don't want to get Drew out of his rhythm by taking him out of that position for plays here and there. But I think so far it's worked. I mean, Bo is such an athlete that, you know, even I think when teams know he's going to run the ball or think he is, it's, look how hard it is still to tackle him and get him down on the ground.
And look, he throws the ball way better than people realize. The other part, too, is you cannot make this work unless you have two guys that have the right attitude about it. And in particular, Bo seems to have a great attitude about it.
Absolutely. Well, that's him and that's his family and that's expected. And lifelong Penn State fan. I mean, how it ultimately works, I guess we kind of have to wait, and like a couple things we talked about today, we kind of have to wait and see. I mean, Drew is making progress as a passer, I believe. So, you know, I think so far, you know, I don't think you're going to see Bo come in there and run a whole series or anything. I mean, it's just a play here and there to keep defenses guessing. And look how much defenses down the road have to prepare for now. Look at just what they've used. I mean, who is more impressed with Tyler Warren and what he's done in the first half of the year?
Well, I was about to bring that up as the last question here, and that's the Tyler Warren part. James Franklin has been vocal, outspoken about that he thinks this is the best tight end in the country because he's an all-around tight end. Your thoughts on watching Tyler Warren to this point?
Yeah, you know, I almost thought that it might be hard for Penn State to get, say, like a Mackey Award-winning tight end because they don't rely on one guy like that enough. And then the other thing is Penn State usually has two and three tight ends that they throw the ball to, so one of them isn't going to get 60 catches a year. But Tyler Warren has gone around that. He's circled around that because he does everything. I mean, when's the last time when have you seen a tight end line up as a wildcat and throw the ball? Like, for anybody?
Never. Never.
Right. So, and the more he keeps being effective, he's got to be the best all-round tight end, right? Because simply, I don't think there's anyone else who does those things. And he can certainly catch and block. So, yeah, I'll go with James on that. Not hyperbole. It's got to be true. Moment.
Frank, always a pleasure. Always. Thank you so much, for my friend. Appreciate all the time we talk and today as well.
Absolutely. Look forward to seeing you Saturday and all the best, Steve.
Thank you. The outstanding Frank Bodani, York Daily Record. Always great to have him on the show today. All right. This half hour brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, now that's what I went with. The buying experience, tremendous. They had the product lines I was looking for. They had the deal I was looking for. They had the financing I was looking for. Treated top shelf all the way through. They'll be even better with you. Kia, Hyundai, that's the new inventory that they have. Great pre-owned inventory with the all-important Sunbury Motors Guarantee. And they go over every vehicle with a fine-tooth comb. It really eases the buying experience at a great service department, whether it's inspections, routine, difficult, they handle it all. At Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 at Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com and News Radio 1070 WKOK.